gospel, in the first chapter, the text from verse 21. The Christmas story, because Christmas comes, it seems so fast and goes so fast, until one Sunday you do not have enough time. And so I'm preaching this morning on the Christmas story. There's a song that has found its way into our society in the past, and I really don't know who the author of it is, but I heard our quartet sing a little bit of it the other night, and they sang, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." Now, in certain areas, you wouldn't have to dream very much today, I suppose, because they say that a number of the areas have one. But I changed this just a little bit for the text this morning, and I want to use this for my theme. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. And the reason that I'm using this subject title is because for a great number of years, I never knew what a right Christmas was. And this is the sad plight of a lot of our entire population of the world today. What does Christmas mean to you? To some people, it means hard work. To some people, it means a visit home. Lastly, as we'll be with a number of the missionaries and some of her relatives now, the Lord willing. And to some, Christmas means reveille, and they talk about the Christmas liquor, and they connect whiskey with the blessed name of the Savior. And this was all that I ever knew about Christmas until I had this wonderful opportunity to experience the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. But to the Christmas means everything today to the real Christian. It means that God has given unto us the best Christmas gift that God could give. There wasn't anything else that God could give that would equal this gift that he gave. Of all of heaven, of all the universe, of all of his creation, of all of his majesty, all of his glory, all of his great works, everything lumped into one sum, God gave to the Christian, to the world, the best Christmas gift that he could give. There wasn't anything else. When you think of the vastness of this, now we'll give some gifts at Christmas, but when you think of the vastness of this gift that God has given to us, then we ask ourselves, have we given the best Christmas gift that we could give? Actually, in the mind and the thought realm of God's thinking, if this would be so, God, literally, it means bankrupt himself. Bankrupt heaven and all that it was worth and what it would hold. When he gave to us the best gift that even God could give. So now, if you and I are to have a right Christmas, certain things must be placed in that Christmas. Let us follow the gospel story and see what a right Christmas includes. Verse 21 said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." If you and I today are to have a right Christmas, it includes making room for Jesus. When Mary and Joseph came to the innkeeper said, "I'm sorry, we have no room for you." And when you think of this, oh, he was the man that missed Christmas and all of its meaning. And I thought so often on this, because after I'd found Jesus as my personal Savior, I'd made room for him in my heart, I was thrilled. And I'm still thrilled this morning with that wonderful experience.
Praise God.
But for 14 years, Christmas in my home, not in Sister Lindsay at my home, but in my mother and father, in this realm which I was reared, went on as usual. It was eggnog, it was Christmas whiskey, it was all of these things to see what they could concoct up that they hadn't been able to do in all of these past years, and how much reverie and everything else, and what they might be add to what they didn't do last year to bring some more excitement to it. And for 14 years, it went this direction. And thank God, one day, in a revival service, my father was led to the altar because he was blind and had been blind for some years, because the doctor said he drank so much liquor in his life that it burned the retinas of his eyes and he couldn't see. Whether that is true or not, I don't know. But anyway, he was blind. She led him to an altar, and at this altar, he found this wonderful experience of Christmas in his heart. For unto you a Savior is born. And I remember full well receiving the invitation for us to come home, and I've related it to you, but I want you to see the picture of the change and the rightness of Christmas. He got an invitation sent to all of the family. And he said, be sure whatever you do, don't miss it. Be home for Christmas. I'm sending you this special invitation. Was conducting revival meetings, if I recall right, in the West Texas area at that time, and having closed on a Sunday night revival and driving till the wee hours of the night to make it into Denison, Texas. When I turned off the road and to the little wire gate where the house sit back off of the road a little ways, and I got out and opened the gate, and the baby was asleep in the car, and I opened the gate and the headlights were shining, and I got in the car and drove through the gate. When I drove through the gate, here was a sign about at least 4 feet by almost 6 feet, I'd say, right in front of the house, just a little bit to the right of the door. And he had had a sign painter paint this sign that when all of us got home for this Christmas season, and it said, welcome home, boys, in God we trust. This was the first time in all of my life that I'd ever went home and been greeted as this. When I got in the house, they got out of bed and they sit there, oh, for a long time. I was real tired and weary, and he wanted to know how things were going and how God was moving and how people were getting saved. And that Christmas was one of the most beautiful. I shall never forget it. You talk about a right Christmas. My friend, this one was right. When we sat at that table loaded with all of the good things, because my mother was a superb Southern cook, and I was asked by him to offer things. My chin was quivering, something inside me, my heart was beating, because there was no smoke in the house. There was no liquor in the house. There was no obnoxious smell in the house. There was nothing there but a real peace coming down from the throne of God. She shall bring forth her son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for thou shalt save his people from their sin. How right this Christmas had been made by one experience in one man's life at an altar at the feet of Jesus. Oh, friend, today we must, if we're going to have a right Christmas, take some time, thank God, and make some room in our heart, in our home for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not this morning be like the innkeeper and say, I'm sorry, there is no room for you. So if you say today that you have no room for Jesus, and if your heart and life are filled with other things, and get this, other things, you miss everything good. Let me call your attention to Judas that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, that had been called, that had been asked to go in company with him, that had been asked to become the treasury of this little group. My friend, he let other things get into his heart and mind and crowded out of his life one of the most beautiful experiences. My friend, instead of it being recorded, the sadness and the ultimate fate and end of Judas could have been recorded of the brilliancy of the prophetic prophecies in which God should have used through that channel. Let me tell you this morning, as a church, let us be careful as Christians today that we do not let other things crowd into our life, crowd into our mind, crowd into our whole being, and take that room that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stop this morning because our world is in a chaotic condition. Oh, mothers and dads, we need to go back to some old-fashioned Bible fundamental principles and bring our children around ourselves in such a way until we can instill into them the God-fearing principles that only the gospel of Jesus Christ will give. If we could do that today, we could stop this rioting business. We could stop all of this turmoil and upheaval. But instead of this, my friend, so many things have crowded their way into the life of men and women today until we have no time, and we're running constantly, and our poor children are not to be blamed in so many words today because they have not had that real personal touch of reading the Bible in old-fashioned prayer and old-fashioned direction, but the power of the Spirit to lead them in the ways of truth and right. Are we so busy until we've let all of these things crowd out until there's no room? I know what it is to be busy. I know we never get done. I know there's so many demands. I'm saying to you, I believe if we're going to have a right Christmas, we need to stop and say, business or no business, I'm going to take some time here and make some room in my heart and life, in my home, for the Lord Jesus. A right Christmas, if we've made room, includes worship. When Jesus was born, a wonderful miracle of nature took place. The heavens opened up and an angel came down to speak to a group of shepherds that were out on these Judean hills. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds went to town, and they found this baby and knelt down and worshiped him. Do you see this picture? Who else could God break this wonderful, marvelous news to? But to a group of shepherds on the Judean hills that were not too busy to make room in their heart for Jesus. They were not taken up with too many things until they could go and fall down and worship him. Sometimes we're taken taken with so many things until we can bear make it to the house of God on Sunday morning. How we're taken up with so many things until we have, when we come there, no time really to worship. Let me ask you the question this morning. How many of us have come into the house of God here today and we have really opened up our heart and we can say when we've left here this morning that we have really worshiped Him? Have we? I've noticed a number of you. I've never seen you open a songbook. I've never seen you raise your hand yet this morning. I've never seen you give any expression whatsoever that you was really bowing at the foot of Jesus like these shepherds and worshiping Him. You know what would happen this morning if every one of us in here took a little bit of time and made a right Christmas out of this and included real, genuine worship. Not something that's worked up, but something of gratitude given out of our heart. You know what would happen in this service this morning? There'd be tears streaming down cheeks. There'd be men and women sobbing. There'd be men and women praising God and glorifying the Lord. There'd be a wave of glorious power that we would not soon forget if we just opened the heart and made a little room for Jesus. And when we made that room, we bowed down and begin to just worship Him. How about it? How about it? You say, I haven't had a chance. Raise your hand right now. Open the door. Worship for a moment, will you? Don't look at me. Shut out everything. Don't worship me. Don't worship the church. Worship Him. Worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A right Christmas. Worship. Adoration. Praise. Exaltation. You and I are to have a right Christmas. You must come and worship Him also. These humble little shepherds that said, well, I haven't got anything much to lose anyway if that little bunch of sheep do stray away. Stealing themselves off. Finding Him.
Hallelujah.
It's just me. You know, I don't know why. But sometimes I get the idea that we feel that we have to be so bombastic and everything has to be so exuberant it's almost taking the roof off before we think anything has ever happened. But this isn't so. You didn't find that there where these shepherds came, really. I searched for this. I found them just coming and kneeling down and raising up their heart and raising up their soul and raising up everything really that was in them. Thank God. And let me tell you this morning, you know, I don't have to make a big loud noise really. Sometimes I am, and you know I'm noisy anyway, but I don't have to really do this to let God know that I'm worshiping Him, because He knows all about me anyway. He knows all about you anyway. Thank God, in the serenity of your own heart, in the serenity of your own life this morning, if you would just take a little bit of this time. There's about 15 minutes left on the clock yet before you gotta be entertained with some more things. If you just take that 15 minutes and open that door and begin to really worship God, I tell you, you'd go out of here a different individual. Christmas would take on a different meaning when you walk out of these doors today. These shepherds had time. If we're to have a right Christmas, it includes the grace of giving. And here in these gospel stories, you see the wise men coming to bring their gifts to Jesus. And what gifts they were. You ever stop and consider them? Even today, the thing that the world is scrambling for and seeking after and searching for is what? Gold. Every time it goes up an ounce or down an ounce, the market tells you when this one's having trouble and they can't keep enough stored. And that one's having enough trouble because they're losing some they had stored, and we're losing some we thought we had. But they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And each gift that they brought was a gift of real value. Let me ask ourselves today, are we giving ourselves to Him? This will go beyond the goal. Yes. Because Jesus said that one soul was worth more than the whole world. Are we today giving ourselves to Him, or are we giving ourselves to the things of this life? Are we giving our time to Him? Are we giving our talents to Him? You know, we got a lot of talent in this church, and a lot of it's buried out there in the pews. We can't get all of the help we need for Royal Rangers because it's buried out there. And we can't get all the help we need for missionettes and WMCs and the men's fellowship. It's buried out there. Well, now, Pastor, I just don't have the time. I know we're taken up with things. We just can't do it. But if we're going to have a right Christmas, it includes the gift of giving, the grace of giving, the love of giving. Praise God. Are we giving our talents? Are we giving our money? And someone said, oh, I'll tell you about that church. All they want is the money. Don't you ever believe it, friend. We're here, thank God, to minister to this community. We're here to minister not only to this community, but to those regions around this world. Thank God to help send these missionaries, brother, sister. Oh, glory to God, to preach a gospel story to the world. We're not here, my friend, just as a social activity. We're here, thank God, to minister the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes money to do that. And are we giving that? Or are we saying, well, all they want is my money? Don't you believe it, my friend. Don't you believe it if anybody ever tells you that. Because all you've got to do, if you need me, if you want me in your home for some ministry, I don't care what time of the day or night, I don't care how hot or cold, how wet or dry, you call on the phone, my friend. You let me know. I'll be there. The deacons will be there. This church members will be there. If we know, my friend, we're here to minister. Of course, it takes money to run your home. It takes money to do everything that you do today. We know this. But are we giving any to God? Here these wise men came with their gifts and they laid down their gold. And they brought something else, my friend, with them that perfumed the very atmosphere of that place. And you and I this morning have the privilege and the opportunity of bringing that same radiant, fragrant atmosphere wherever we go, because we have taken Him and made room in our heart. We found that place of worship, hallelujah. Thank God, at the foot of the cross, and there should be the sweetness of Jesus permeating from our life. Oh, glory to God. It should take care of all of the bitterness and the envies and the jealousies and the hatreds that should not be prevalent among those that name the name of Christ. But there should be that sweetness of frankincense coming out of our ivory palace from which we've invited Christ to sit upon the throne. Hallelujah. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost as we go about to minister to those that have special needs. And you talk about a right Christmas when you leave that home. And then I must close. And a right Christmas includes the matter of telling others about Jesus. For our picture here, we look up and listen to the angels. 400 dark, dreary years had gone by. No voice of the prophet, house of God desecrated, complete, fallen away, nothing but darkness. Nobody trusted anybody. And then, when God was ready to let this old sin-cursed world know that the time, the fullness of time had arrived, sent an angelic choir from out of the ivory palaces of glory, hovering over that little Judean hill where these shepherds was watching for the fire. And they brought the gladdest and the sweetest message that this world has ever heard. She shall bring forth her son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Fear not, for unto you is born this day. Oh, what a Christmas day. Thank God when it was righted in my life. What a day when it was righted in the life of my father. Hallelujah. And what a Christmas we had here upon this earth when we gathered after that meeting of Jesus. Oh, for unto you this day a Savior is born. The sweetest message that the world has ever heard. In fact, the world has never been the same since that time. Regardless of how atheistic they try to go, regardless of how barbaric they try to become, regardless of how far they try to drift, regardless of how much they try to do away with the Bible. And a lot of people said, well, I'm disturbed that the Supreme Court staying out of the school. Let the Supreme Court do what they will, my friend. In the very heart and throne life of men and women that have found of this Savior born again experience in their life and a real right Christmas, they'll never be able this side of eternity to take away of the beauty and the glory and the power and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he rules supreme. I'll let them commercialize. I'll let them do what they will with it, my friend, to the real Christian that has become acquainted with this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And at this season, we're praising God because the fullness of time came and the angel brought the message, and we received the message, and we've got the experience in our heart this morning. Hallelujah. We'll raise our hands while time rolls on. And you can never be the same. The world has never been the same since that great, glad, and glorious event. But men are still in darkness today, in darkness of sin, and they need Jesus. The question I want to leave with you this morning is, at this Christmas season, will we tell them? Will we tell them? Oh, there's so many ways to tell them. Will we tell them? Let us do these four things this morning. Let us purpose when we leave this house of God today that above all things, we're going to make room for Jesus in our heart and our lives. And then let us bow down and worship him. And let us then bring our gifts unto him. And let us tell others the sweet old story of Jesus and his love. It'll never grow dim. It'll never grow old. Thank God it'll be as radiant and as brilliant and as bright as that first Christmas night. Our Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning. Oh, God. Somehow let the Holy Spirit move a little closer to us. Let us move a little closer to you, that we may grasp that great eternal truth of a right Christmas. Thank God. Thank God that you can open the door of our heart today. Walk in. Become our guest. If there are those in our congregation that do not know you, not become acquainted with you, and they've never had a right Christmas, they really don't know what a right Christmas is, Lord, may this be the day that they find you. Thank God. May this be the day they surrender, because you're searching for them. You're looking for them. Hallelujah. You're calling them. You're wooing them. You're loving them. May they just surrender to you. And this will be the greatest Christmas ever in their life. In Jesus' name. Will you stand with us?